Coming from the Caveman Studios in Buffalo, New York, welcome to Caveman Corner with your host, Jeff.
Captain Caveman!
Thanks.
Click subscribe and the bell. Do it now!
We're here with Justin the Nightmare Street, returning back to Caveman's Corner. He was just here not too long ago on the podcast when I was out of town. Everybody handled it. He had a bunch of the fighters on. And, man, usually Caveman's Corner is undefeated. I guess you're still undefeated, though. Like, the people that come on the podcast almost always win. And
I think one of the guys lost, Caveman.
Yeah, one of the guys lost. And you kind of lost, too, because you had your fight already. You cut down to 125 pounds. And then no fight. Can you you tell the fans what happened since last time you were on?
Yeah, so last time we were on, we were getting ready, and we had went through a nice little fight camp, getting ready for my debut in Hollywood, Florida, February 2nd. Unfortunately, the night of the fight, I got called back. I got called out in the hallway, out of the locker room, as we were getting ready to tape up my wrist. And then Andy Hall goes, "Hey, Mr. Street, we need to see you out in the hallway." So I got pulled out in the hallway. Dave Feldman comes walking up, and he's like, "Hey, Mr. Street, you know, thank you for being professional, you know, on your end. However, your opponent's being arrested as we speak. They have him at gunpoint." I go, "You're messing with me, man." I go, "You're messing with me." And he goes, "No, unfortunately, I'm not. You know, I wish I was." And when he said that, dude, I mean, I instantly looked at my, my teammate, my cornerman, and I just dropped, I was heartbroken. It was definitely a devastating blow. It was the shot that I've always been dreaming of. The opponent I really wanted to, get in there with. So, I mean, it was definitely – it hurt big time to the core. So, and like I said, I lost 43 pounds to prepare for that fight. So, to go through all that struggle, the mental and all that stuff, and then to have it just fall through and slip through your fingers, you just kind of feel like you're getting robbed of everything. So,
yeah. Did, were you able to get paid for that fight at least?
Yep. So I was able to get my show money. And then, a ticket to the fight. That was pretty much it. So like I said, yeah. I would much rather have the publicity, so that people would have got the chance to know, the Nightmare as I am, and my kind of style in the ring. I feel like this is where I belong. So, I mean, out of all the combat sports I've done, this is definitely, where my bread and butter is boxing. So
I love that, man. I love that they paid you too. Like the UFC, like they didn't pay the show money for for Wonder Boy. When Wonder Boy fought, he didn't get his show money. Like I think it's awesome that David Feldman like paid you your show money at least.
Yeah, no, Dave Feldman's a great guy. I mean, BKFC and all around, we're all a great staff, great organization. They definitely looked out. They definitely made sure that I was taken care of and making sure that they were gonna get me back out on another card. And they did just that. I mean, they stuck to their word. Dave Feldman told me that he would have me on another card right away, stay ready. So I did just that. And then Carlos, my manager with CNC Management, great guy as well. Yeah, I mean, they definitely did their thing. So I have no complaints whatsoever. I'm just ready to get in here and showcase, what I'm capable of.
Yeah, man, we can't wait to see that happen. What weight are you fighting this time? 25 again?
Nope. So this time we'll be at 135. I'm fighting Anthony Sanchez. He's a 1-1 BKFC guy. I don't think he's ever been finished. So it's definitely got fight of the night written all over it, and potential knockout. I mean, I'm looking to get in here and really put my hands on this guy and really show the world just exactly who Justin the Nightmare Street is.
But I know you have like a lot of MMA experiences. Do you think that gives you a huge advantage when you're in a clinch, like that 30 boxing clinch?
Absolutely. When it comes to the clinch game, I mean, it's all about turning them in, turning them out. It's all underhooks, overhooks. So with having that kind of experience and knowing how to tie up somebody and knowing how to slipping an underhook and turn them and all that stuff, I definitely feel like that gives me a huge advantage to when it comes to the clinch game or the dirty boxing.
Do you ever want to, like, body lock a guy and just earth him, like, every now and then?
You said what?
Do you ever want to, like, just body lock a guy and, like, just belly him right over? Like, I know you did a lot of MMA, like.
It popped in my head. I'm more of a – I'd rather stand and bang, so I'm not really down for the takedowns. But, I mean, the thought's there. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a vicious guy when I'm in the ring. So, I mean, it's that on-switch, off-switch type of deal. Once that switch gets flicked on, it's, you know, it's go game. So.
So I know you have all kinds of experience in multiple disciplines of martial arts. I know that you coach as well. Like, what do you do to prep for a bare knuckle fight? What do you do to keep your hands healthy? What do you do to keep them hard? Like, what's the training like? I really don't. I'm really kind of interested in what you do for your knuckles and your hand care and like what you do to get ready and how you spar even.
So I spar every day. We do about 10 to 15 rounds daily. I spar with guys heavier, bigger, same size. It doesn't matter. I mean, as long as we're getting the work in, that's just about it. My cornerman, Eric Reeves, he's been really a big sparring partner with me. Me and him, we'll go 10 rounds. And then after me and him are done sparring, I also jump in with other bodies as well. And then we also travel to different gyms and get in different looks with other fighters.
So when you're sparring, what else gloves are you wearing?
So I wear the MMA training gloves.
So like eights or sixes, whatever they are?
Yeah, they're 6 inches.
The poofy ones?
Yep.
Does that?
And then when I hit the bag, I don't wear any gloves. I hit the bag bare fist, bare-handed, just to kind of, you know, just strengthen up the skin, really, more or less than anything else. It's not really about the feeling. It's not really about, you know, toughening up your hands or anything like that. I think that's a little overrated. Mm-hmm. I'm more so when I was a freshman year in high school, I was playing football on the football team. And long story short, I ended up fracturing my C7 and snapping my vertebrae in half.
Oh, my God.
So I ended up in the hospital. I was, you know, paralyzed from the waist down. I lost feeling in my hands. Well, 9 months in being in the hospital, when it was a miracle in a way you could say, because at the same time I lost the feeling in my hands, I gained the feeling back in my legs. So I was able to walk out of the hospital, and I've never looked back since. You know, I took my that was God's gift. You know, that was His way of telling me that. You need, you know, you're meant to walk. You're meant to, you know, put these legs to use. You're meant to, you know, I gave you stone hands for a reason. You know, let's utilize them. So, I mean, I took that gift and I've ran with it ever since. And, yeah.
That's awesome. I hear your son in the background. We talked about him earlier in the green room. And it's awesome to hear him. Can you tell a little bit about, like, how your son's been with you the whole time and now how he's starting to, like, train as well?
Yeah. Yeah, my son is he's my main motivation. I mean, without my son, I don't know exactly where I would be today. He really pushes me. He every day in the gym, outside the gym, he's just all around. Like I said, he's my motivation. I've had him in the gym since the day he was born. I've had him in the car seat. I'd bring him to the gym with me. I'd have him in the car seat. All the women at the gym would all love it. You know, let me hold him, you know. So they would kind of like take him off, take over for me while I was able to train and all that stuff. And then now as he's getting older now, he's 4 years old. He'll be 5 in July. And now he's starting to do it himself. He's really taken really, really highly to the gym. He loves it. He loves everybody in there. He does like a kickboxing Muay Thai classes Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's from 5 to 6 underneath one of our coaches, Nick Filion. Great guy, great coach, all around. He's great with the kids, and yeah, he's my son. He's, you know, he's a natural. It's really good. It brings back the excitement for me to see him in there and enjoying it as well. So,
okay, got him doing jujitsu too.
Yeah, he will be next year. He'll start jujitsu, and then I'm also gonna have him start in wrestling when he's 6 years old. So he'll be very well rounded as well.
You want a green one?
He wants a green one.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, he's like I said, he's my pride and joy.
That's great. And what are you looking to do in the sport? What's your goal? I know, like, you're pro now. Like, are you gonna go into coaching? Are you? What are you trying to do? Like,
no, I'm looking to collect straps. I'm here to make my name known. I am the best, and I'm gonna prove it. You know, one way or another. So, if that's me taking the 125 belt from John Dobson, then let's get it going. If that's me taking the 135 strap, then hey, let's get it going. What I would like, my ultimate goal with BKFC is for me to get all three belts. I want 125, 135, and then I want to go to 145 and take the 45 strap as well. And once I get all three belts, then I'll hang it up. And then I'll dedicate, you know, the rest of my son and, you know, let his career blossom if that's what he chooses to do.
That'd be awesome. First triple crown.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking to do.
What do you weigh?
Right now, I'm walking around at 145. I got a little bit more weight to lose. I got 10 more pounds to lose. But, I mean, it's nothing. It's mainly water weight right now. So,
yeah, definitely. Like, man, 25, 35, 45. Yeah. That's such a huge difference. Like, people that don't fight don't understand what those 10 pounds are. Like,
that's just it. That 10 pounds, especially when you know, you're cutting weight and you're like, oh, I got this. You get down to that last 5 pounds, and it's like, okay, how come it ain't coming off? <You know? laughs> Those are what we call the stubborn pounds. So,
yeah.
It's just, you know, you got to stick to the grind. You know, you grind, you know, day in and day out, and you got to stay positive. The more you're staying positive and the more you don't think negative and you keep one foot in front of the other and you just keep moving forward, I feel like that it has a, you know, a big part to do with things.
Yeah, for sure. And what I meant by that is, like, so a 120-pound fighter is usually walking around, like, 140, 145. 130-pound fighter is, like, 150. You know, 145-pounders walk around, like, 170, 180. You know, like, they're big twos, man. Like,
yeah, no. I mean, I walk around at 165. When I'm not cutting for a fight or anything like that, I walk around at 160 to 165. Like I said, when that contract comes across, regardless if it says 125, 135, or whatever it says, I get busy. So, I mean, my fight for February 2nd, I was supposed to be at 125, and I lost 43 pounds to prepare for that one. So, cutting weight for me is not it's not something that I worry about. It's not something that concerns me at all, because I give myself the time, the correct time to do so. And I have a great nutritionist behind me with Westfit Fitness, Mike Toller. The guy's amazing. He keeps me in shape. He keeps me eating right. And that's how I'm able to stay healthy and stay in the gym. So
how do you, like, how do you feel, like, after the weight cut, after the weigh-ins? How do you refuel your body?
As soon as I step off the scale, I usually do about a Pedialyte or two Pedialytes. And then I'll do a Pedialyte, a bottle of water, a half a Pedialyte, and then I'll try to get a protein bar in me just to kind of expand my stomach. After like a half hour of getting that protein bar in me, then it's like, okay, time to go eat, you know. And we go and we eat lots of protein, lots of rice, lots of not lots of carbs, but majority of carbs and protein, because you need your carbs for energy and you need your protein for strength. So, and then I use I eat a lot of rice and black beans. With the black beans, it's another way of another source of protein, and it's also got a lot of other vitamins in it that kind of a lot of people that don't really know about.
I like that. That's awesome, man. What do you weigh? So when you fight 125 and you make weight, obviously the next day is when you fight. What do you weigh when you step into the ring?
So by the time I step in the ring, I'm probably 145 pounds. Man, if I go down to 125, it's 145. If I go down to 135, I'm looking at 155. 45, I'd probably be at 160 again.
Yeah. So
I put out about 12 to 15 pounds every time I step off the scale.
Yeah, it might be small for that. I mean, 40, that doesn't mean anything. Like, it's not boxing. Size. It's not like
it ain't about the size of the person. It's about the size of the heart. And that, you know, that's what I've told my son, you know, and that's what, you know, I preach to these kids, and I preach to all my, you know, training partners and all the new guys starting off. It's, you know, you can't worry about the size of the dog. It's the heart that's in the dog. So, and you know, that's the main thing. You know, if you have the heart and if you got the courage, go get it. Don't let fear scare you away.
Hey, Justin, and this fight you got coming up, are you going to have the longer reach advantage, you think? Or
Yeah, I'm going to have the longer reach. I feel like he doesn't really have anything to offer me except for an overhand right. You can see it coming from a mile away. It's nothing that I haven't seen before. So it's just a matter of getting in there, sticking to my game plan, getting that jab flowing, and my movement. My footwork is a big base to my fight style. I like to move. I stay light on my feet, and I stick and move, and I like making people miss. The more I make people miss, the more confidence it gives me, and the more, you know, I get in the rhythm. It's a scary night for my opponent.
You make a miss and count, right?
No, absolutely.
So you feel like you're more of a rhythm fighter then too, like you really get into the rhythm. I like absolutely. That. Like Sugar Sean.
You know, you know, a singer can't, you know, get into rhythm unless they get that good beat going. Well, I mean, it's the same thing when you're in that ring. You got to get that good beat going. You got to get that good rhythm going. You got to get that, you know, nice bounce going. You know, it's just, it's all, I don't want to say it's a lot of mental, but at the same time, it's a big, big, big part of mental for me, because with that rhythm, and when you feel comfortable with that music that's in your head and that rhythm that you're popping off with, you feel like you're in sync, and nothing can stop you. You're untouchable.
So what do you do to get that music started playing when the bell rings? Like what puts you into that zone where you hear the music and you're really moving and you settle into the rhythm? What sets it up?
The walkout alone. So the backstage is where you prep. The backstage is where you warm up at. That walkout, that's when you know that pin's about to drop through that door. You're about to step through those ropes, and it's go time, you know. And you got all your family and your friends and your peers, you know, looking up to you. So you got to go in there, and you got to, you know, it's showtime. You got to show out. You know, you're there for one thing and one thing only, and that's the, proved, you know, all the hard work, blood, sweat, and tears that you've put into the gym, and then all these hours that you spend away from your family and your kids. This is that moment, you know. This is what it all boils down to. So if I'm gonna sacrifice being away from my children and, you know, my family, you best believe it. When I step into that ring, that rhythm is in flow, because I'm there to I gotta set the tone. So when that first jab snaps off, and I watch his head snap back, believe me, it's go time.
I like that. That's I like that. There's no mental arithmetic to that at all. You're just like, I go out there and it's already there. Like I like that.
Time. Yeah, it's business.
What did you do to develop that? Like I know a lot of guys, like, they feel uncomfortable when they first start, and it takes them like 30 seconds, 25, 30 seconds just to feel that flow. And what did you learn that lets that switch flip immediately that you
get the way I grew up? I mean, it was the way I grew up. I mean, I grew up in a bad neighborhood. I mean, we were the only white family in the neighborhood. So, I mean, you didn't have that time to warm up. You didn't have that time to, you know, get that mental right. Yeah. Yep.
Detroit.
So, I mean, you step off the school bus and you had, you know, 3-4 kids jumping on your back, or, you know, kids walking out from behind the party store ready to fight you as you just stepped off the bus. So, I mean, it was like, all right, well, here we go. You know, make my day, you know, let's get it. And that was it. I mean, me and my younger brother, we had to fight back to back plenty of times because we had to fight off many other kids because of our color of our skin, or because of the, you know, our shoes that we had on, or whatever the case may have been. So, I mean, fighting for me, I mean, it's something that I've done my whole life. I mean, I fought to get to where I'm at today in my life. I fight every day, you know. I fight every day to be a great father. I fight every day to be the man I am. So that mental stage is already there. It's just a matter of me flicking that switch and getting in that zone and staying in that zone.
I like it. I wish that was something that was easier to teach. Like what you told me does not help me with my guys, but I appreciate how good it makes you.
Hey man, you got to move in the hood.
I guess I can make all my guys live in the hood. You got to live in the hood for like 8 months and then you can go fight.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I grew up there. So, I mean, I want to say from the time I was, 6 years old to about, 12, 13 years old. I mean, that's, that's where we lived. So, I mean, you fight them all, you know, and then you become best friends with them all. And then, it's just the part of life, I guess. It comes full cycle.
Yeah, it did. What did you think you were going to be when you were that age and that was happening? Did you think that, you would be a professional fighter?
So I definitely took in boxing. I mean, I was jumped. I had, my face kicked in. I had, I walked home one day from school and I had, my teeth were out. I'm holding my tooth in. And I walked in the door and my dad, what happened? I go, I just got off the school bus. It was my one, the one day my younger brother didn't go to school with me and he was sick. So, I mean, as I got off the bus, these kids were waiting for me. I had a pair of LeBron James shoes on, fresh, it was his first brand of shoes that he came out with. They were all white. And as soon as I got off the bus, it was, I was getting pushed down to the ground. I look back and the school driver or the bus driver, she's just driving off, like pretty much waving by at me. So, I mean, it was like, here we go, So I took my beating, I got my licks in when they counted and then, I was able to walk home. So, I mean, when you're fighting kids that are, 15, 16 years old and you're only 9, it brings the dog out of you. It brings, a different breed, I guess. I don't really know what else to say.
Turns into the nightmare.
Yeah, that's it. And my uncle Mike, he's actually the one who gave me the nickname Nightmare. Rest in peace, his soul. But yeah, he's the one that actually told me, you're the nightmare. You got to go in here and you got to show these guys you're the nightmare. And that's how it all began. Nightmare on Elm Street. It's stuck ever since.
I like it. Did you think that MMA was going to be the future for you, or were you always looking to get into boxing and straight up striking?
So the first time I ever walked into a boxing gym, I fell in love instantly. I was, I walked in there. I was a young, cocky, arrogant kid. I was young, and I didn't think nothing. I go, oh, yeah, you're bringing me to a boxing gym for what? What are these guys going to do to me? And I walked in and it was like a different atmosphere. I instantly fell in love. I felt just being able to hit somebody and get hit back and not get in trouble for it. For me, that was like the world. I was like, it was like a kid being walking into a candy store, So I fell in love with, the part of getting hit and being able to return shots and watching somebody hit you as hard as they can and you being able to smile back at them. And watching their eyes get about this big, like that, I look forward to that. That's something that intrigues me. That's something that really gets my blood pumping and really makes it to where I'm able to flick that switch and go forward.
Do you experience anyone that was really, really good the first day in the gym? Like the first time I sparred, man, I fought this guy and I just could not touch him. Like, I was like, oh, my God, why can't I hit this guy, And he's just, touching you up and feeling you up. And, he's having a good time, because he's so much better than you. Like, guys that, at that level. Was there anything like that when you first jumped in the gym? Or did they have
absolutely.
You
yep. So, I had a great training partner, both him and his brother, both, and his dad. They really helped, mold me, I guess, from when I first walked into the gym. I was a straightforward brawler kind of type. I was just in there trying to take your head off. I wasn't really trying to use technique. I wasn't really trying to do anything like that. And then it was just different, Rico Quinn, him and his brother, Robert Quinn, they both, Rico now is fighting for Showtime Boxing. So, I mean, he fights at a 115 or 118 pounds, I think it is.
Wow. Guy.
When I was getting hit by this guy, I mean, you felt like I was getting hit by a 200-pound man. So, I mean, his speed was just so incredible. So it was like either you had to learn how to move your head and learn how to, you know, cut those angles, or you were getting beat up. So he really took it to me, and then I just learned from there. And throughout all the years that I've trained with him, and throughout all the years that we've spent together traveling around to ringside tournaments, to James Tony tournaments, to all the boxing tournaments that we did together, it really helped me, because having him by my side and having him kind of like coach me in a way to help me grow into the fighter I want to say, you know, I became. And then I met my coach now, James Benatea. He's been a great a mentor to me. He's been, you know, really, he's really taken my fighting style to the next level when it comes to footwork, and it comes to putting things together, putting combos together, putting, you know, everything into one. He's really helped me mold that into one. And then we just kind of, you know, day by day, we work all day long. I mean, I'm in the gym sometimes two times a day to, you know, 5 hours at a time, you know, a day. So it all just depends on, you know, if I'm going to two different gyms that day or if I'm just going to one gym.
Yeah, that's, man, two different gyms. Do you have a regular job too, or are you just train?
Yep. So I do construction.
Of course. Well, yeah. Like the hardest job there is. And training at
two different gyms. Yeah. So I do construction. And then on the side, as soon as I get off work, it's a matter of racing home, grabbing my bag, or going straight from work right to the gym. And I'm at the gym from 5:30 to 9:30 at night. So,
yeah, that's damn, dude. That's such a
long day. So, with bare knuckle fighting and regular boxing, I know it's a
huge difference.
The difference is, you know, with the bigger gloves, you could defend yourself, you could block shots. With bare knuckle, how do you like combat how you defense the punches? Like, do you like parry?
Yeah. So, like we talked about last time, Ray, it's all about the parry game. You know, if you're gonna cover up, that means that you're waiting for your opponent to tee off. You know, that's giving your opponent a green light. I tell all the fighters that I work with, and all the other fighters that I, you know, kind of like coach in a way. I tell them all the same thing. If you're going to cover up, you're asking your opponent to tee off on you. That's a green light for your opponent.
Yep.
Same, you know, likewise. If you see your opponent cover up and they're, you know, they're doing all this and they're trying to, you know, pretty much run away, take it to them. You know, jump into their face, work that body and climb the ladder. So for me, it's always about the parry game. I'd rather stand in front of you, and I'd rather smack your jab down and come over the top. Or, you know, same thing. You know, I'll smack your right hand down, and I'll come right over the top with my straight right. And then I'll cut my angles, and I start going to work. I like to tag up that body. I feel like knocking somebody out with a body shot or putting somebody down with a body shot is a lot better than, you know, on the chin. Anybody can knock somebody out on the chin. But when you go to their body and you drop somebody with a body shot, that's a whole different world. So.
Those are the worst too, man. Like, you get hit there, yeah, and you're like, oh man, I think I shit myself.
Yeah, and there ain't no coming back from that. So I mean, no.
And even if they do, they're so broken down that like that ends the fight pretty much. You know, like they get up and they can't take it. They got to cover up, and then they're like open for everything.
Sometimes it's like a little delay too, like 3 second delay, whatever. Yeah,
that's they go to take that deep breath, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, hold on a second, I gotta take a knee. And then that, you know, they're done. You see the referee waving his hands, and you know, whatever else the case may be.
So when do you employ the clinch? So like in Muay Thai, when they rush forward, that's a good time to clinch. And this, like, I see the big guys clinch all the time, but the lighter guys don't really clinch as much. Is there like a strategy to it, or what's the clinch game like? I'm sure like it's developed just for this bare knuckle boxing. Like, I'm not a huge follower of bare knuckle boxing. Like, I watch a lot of fights, but like only like the big ones, you know. Like, I watch two or three on the card, and that's about it.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously I'm not really one to, you know, create the clinch. I'm not one to, you know, try to get that close. I like to try to stay on the outside. However, if you're going against more of a an aggressive, where they're, you know, really trying to, you know, just run down, you know, run you down, and they're really trying to put that shoulder into your gut, and they're trying to push forward, that's when, like, the clinch would come into play. That's when the underhook comes in, and you're, you know, you start turning them inside and outside, and, you know, taking control and moving them around to where you want them to go, to where you can land those punches, and they'll turn it into a dirty boxing scenario.
I like it so much. I think it adds so much to the sport. Like, I like clinch. Like, so I fought a lot of Muay Thai and MMA, obviously, but I love the clinch, and I like to see the clinch work. Like, sometimes it's not the best with the, like, no offense, but the fatter guys and mm-hmm. The heavyweight, when they're just hanging on the head and boom, boom, boom. But you see some guys that can really move in a clinch, and to me, that's super exciting.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you got somebody that has good footwork and they're able to work circles around you in that clinch, I mean, that definitely, it showcases a lot. And I mean, that's something that we're, my cornerman, Eric Reeves, he walks around, he's at 208 right now. And this is somebody that I spar with almost every day. And he'll create the clinch. He likes to grip onto me, and he likes to create that dirty boxing. And so if I'm able to turn him out, and I'm able to, you know, turn him to where I need him to be, to where I can let my hands go and I can start getting off on those shots. A guy at 125 or a guy at 135, even 145, I'll find it very much easier to do so.
Yeah, 100%, man. That's pretty awesome. I can't wait to watch your fight, because I'm excited. If you use the clinch game, I'm going to be like messaging Ray right away. I'll be like, yo, I told him to do that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, with this, the guy that I'm fighting, it'll be like me holding out a red rug, you know, old chase red rug. I mean, that's how it's going to look. I mean, the guy's going to be trying to hit me with his overhand right, and he's going to be trying to, he mainly fights off his back foot. So I'm going to come forward a lot, and I'm coming forward with deadly shots. I'm going to rip his body up. Every time he throws that overhand right, I'm going underneath it, and I'm ripping his body, and I'm coming back over top with a left hook. I honestly feel like that's what I'm going to finish him with. The more and more I watch video on him, and more I study him, this is the more and more that keeps coming in into training, and the more preparation that we put into it, that's what I keep, you know, it keeps coming out to be. So I definitely feel like the outcome of this fight, if I don't put him down in the first round, mark my words, in the second round, he's going down. And I mean, I don't see him getting back up after I rip that body and I come back up top with that left hook.
I love it, man. I love that you brought, you talk about film study a little bit too, because like whenever I talk to people about bare knuckle boxing, they're always like, oh man, these guys are just stupid savages. And like, you know, they used to be the same thing instead of about MMA, and now it's like, now they say about bare knuckle boxing. Yeah. And that you're talking about how much preparation and like film study you're doing on this guy, that's huge, man. Can you talk about like your film study? Like, you sit with your coaches, you watch it, you sit yourself and watch it. Like, how's your film study work?
Yep. So, I mean, I'll sit with my cornerman, Eric Reeves. Me and him will sit here and we'll watch videos a lot together. But majority of the time, it's just, you know, I'll do my preparation. My coaches are doing their preparation. And then we kind of come together and, like, put it all together. And, you know, what'd you come up with? What'd you see? And then, you know, what I like to do is I like to keep notes. I do I learned how to do, like, a web. And you know, back in like elementary days, you know, you make like a web before you start your writing, whatever else. Well, yeah, that's what I'll put three circles. I'll put two big circles together. You got your left, your middle, and your right. Left is the strengths. The middle is like, you know, where you kind of feel like we're not so much weaknesses on your end, but to where you feel like he might catch you in something. And then the right side is his weaknesses. So that's kind of like how I break down everything. I look for his strengths first. I want to see what he's doing with his front foot. I want to see where he's putting his front foot. I want to see how he leads, when he goes to throw that jab. Does he drop his elbow down to his hip before he snatches it out? like those are certain things that I look for, because in a fight, those little clutches, those little tweaks are things that when you find out what your opponent's going to do and you're able to focus in on that, it makes that rhythm, so it pops so much quicker, so much, you know, easier. And that's just, you know, one thing leads to another.
I love it. I do a lot of film study for my guys too. And I break it down the same way. Like, what do they do with their leaf? What do they switch stances? What are they in the southpaw? Do they get to the outside? Do they not get to the outside? What angles do they cut from each stance? How they respond to pressure? When you pressure them, which way do they go? Like, do they always duck to the left? Do they always duck to the right? Do they angle out? Do they go back? Like, where can you find weaknesses? You know, like, usually it's for MMA, so then you're like worrying about like the wrestling and stuff too. But like the stand up parts is just amazing. It's like the same thing that we do for MMA and for Thai boxing. And like, man, hopefully people are watching this and they can see like how much study you guys are putting into this. This is a real art. It's just like boxing. It's just boxing.
That's just it. A lot of people look, they think, oh, bare knuckle boxing. Oh, it's just a bunch of brawlers. Oh, they're just in, you know, it's street fighting. It's this, it's that. I mean,
a science to it.
Yeah, there's always a science. Right. And if people could just understand the blood, sweat, and tears that we all pour into the gym and all the hours that we sacrifice away from our children and our families and our loved ones, it takes a toll, you know. I mean, you have to really sometimes take a step back and, you know, look around and feel blessed for what you have, and, you know, be thankful that you have this opportunity to, you know, do what you love to do. Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people get the chance to, you know, say, hey, I got in the ring and I, you know, I did this or I did that. Well, I get to live that life. So I'm going to soak that in and I'm going to live it to the fullest potential that I can. And I'm going to, you know, take it to the top. And that's my mission and that's my goal. And I'll be damned if I'm denied.
Yeah, dude, like the window that we have as athletes is so short that you have to just go for it. And you're doing all the right things, man. Can you walk us through like what a day in your life is like when you're cutting weight and you have to work construction, you probably can't eat like regular people, and you gotta fucking go to the gym. Can you just like break down your work week like while you're cutting weight?
Yeah, so I mean, it starts at, you know, 6 a.m. You know, every morning it starts, you know, you're waking up at 5:30, you're out the door by 5:30 a.m. and you're getting to the job site by 6. And from 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock, you're grinding, you know, regardless if, you know, you're starving, your stomach's growling, you know, whatever else. I eat a lot of salads, a lot of greens, a lot of vegetables. And I feel like that's what kind of just keeps my energy going throughout the day. And lots of water. I water load. That's like most important. A lot of people, they'll drink a water bottle and think they're okay. You know, they'll drink, you know, maybe 2 water bottles. Oh, I'm good. You know, I got to pee now. I'm good. You know, that's not right. You know, you gotta at least drink a gallon of water, to sometimes even 2 gallons of water a day, especially when you got somebody like myself who puts in a lot of preparation and a lot of hours to where you don't really have that time to eat, or you don't have that time to make a meal, you know. So when you're going from work to right to the gym, you don't have that time to meal prep, you don't have that time to get food in you. So it all boils down to, you know, something with water, and then you get your, you know, your protein shake, or, you know, whatever case may be. And obviously, you know, work can be frustrating. So, you know, when you're at work and you got these, you know, guys that, you know, they aren't really, you know, working as hard as you are, or you're working circles around them, it gets frustrating. So, you know, you just kind of have to learn how to bite your tongue. A lot of people I work with, they know I'm a fighter, so they kind of like stay away. Especially when I'm cutting weight, they all know, like, hey, watch out, Street's cutting for, he's cutting for a fight, you know, let him be, you know, he's a little edgy, whatever. But I mean, I get to the gym and it's go time. I get dressed and let's get after it.
And do you work with your nutritionist at all, or just like after the fight? Like, you talked about nutritionists earlier. Do they like help you prep your meals? Like, how does that work?
My nutritionist, he writes out a meal prep. He might writes out like a list that I'm supposed to follow with my meals. I eat 4 ounce chicken breast at lunchtime and at dinner time. And in the morning, it's egg whites. And like I said, water. Mm-hmm. And then I also have, you know, my little secret weapons, you know, my artichoke powder. That's what, you know, kind of like soaks the water out of me. Then you got, you know, your asparagus. So, I mean, there's, you know, all these little secret weapons that, you know, my nutritionist, you know, bless his soul. But yeah, he really helps me out in that factor.
I love that, man. There's so much to like what you guys do. Like, people don't understand. Oh, he's like on BKFC. Like, he's got all kinds of money. That's all he does is train. But like, dude, it's
I'll
so
tell different. You, I learned the hard way, man. I had rhabdomyolysis right before one of my fights. I ended up coming down with rhabdomyolysis. I don't know if you guys are really familiar with that.
That's when you overwork yourself and like you're pissing brown and like things are terrible and your body's falling apart.
Yep. Yeah. Your body's deteriorating. You're literally. You're dying as you know, you're slowly dying. Your body's getting, you know, deteriorating, slowly disappearing. You know, your kidneys are shutting down, your tissues, all your muscle tissues breaking down. And you literally just, you can't do anything. You feel like your arms are 1,000 pounds, your legs are 1,000 pounds. And I actually had that during one of my fights. So I was at Motor City Casino, I felt good. We went through weigh-ins. I felt good during weigh-ins. But then afterwards when like we ate or whatever, I didn't feel right. You know, I felt like my legs were still heavy. So I mentioned to my coach, I said, hey, you know, I feel weird, you know, like my legs feel, you know, just, they're not right. You know, something's right. You know, not wrong. He's like, well, you did, you know, have a nice little wake up, blah, 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 you know, let's take a cold bath. Let's see, you know, what happens, you know, let's see how you feel after you get a good night's rest. I woke up the next morning. I felt good. We went and did the we were warming up before the fight. I felt good. I felt like my legs loosened up a little bit. So I'm like, all right, I'm good. Right when we went to go do that walkout, I felt like everything was shutting down. So we get into the cage. I hear the pin drop through the door. Referee looks at me, looks at my opponent, says, you guys ready? Let's go. As soon as I was able to get up to my opponent, and before I went to, like, as soon as I went to go let my jab go, my body shut down. I felt like my arms were 1,000 pounds and I couldn't do anything. I literally, you know, the only thing I could really do was, you know, just, it was the heart that I have in me was, you know, stand there and, you know, take the beating and don't quit, you know, hope that he's going to get tired and hopefully that, you know, I can land one punch out, you know, and get one arm up and just, you know, be able to land that one good punch or, you know, have just that hope, that faith. And that's what I did. I mean, the guy, he took it to me. My whole face was all, you know, disorganized. I mean, I came home and I'll never forget these words. And this is exactly why I ended up going to do a nutritionist. This is why, you know, I dedicated so much into getting a nutritionist and following to the T of what my nutritionist says, because that day I came home after that fight, or the next day I came home and my son looks at me and goes, Dad, did you die? Dude, I'll tell you right now, that is like the worst thing you can ever hear from your kid. You know what I'm saying? He's looking at your face. He doesn't even recognize you. And the only thing he can say is, Dad, did you die? That was it for me. So that, you know, I got a nutritionist, and ever since then, man, I've been very, more smart when it comes to the nutritionist fact and doing it the right way and not waiting till the last minute and not, you know, being dumb about it.
That happens only one time, man. Like, if you're a great fighter, like, we always think we can do it on our own. We're like, I don't need to spend the money on that. Like, I'm just going to do it myself, you know? Like, it really is like that until it's not. And then you have this
100%.
Oh, man. So if you guys are listening, it's like one of the most important investments you can make. Make sure you
nutrition have nutrition. Is everything. Honestly, that's like the most important part about the fight game is nutrition. So, I mean, a lot of these fighters that are getting in here and they're just, you know, going off of their street wits or they're going off of their street fighting skills. Good luck. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to catch up to you. It may not hit you yet. It may not, you know, whatever else. But as you get older, I promise you, it's going to catch up. And when it does, it's going to bite you in the ass like nobody's business.
I understand, man. I'm 46 now. If I eat shitty, I'm going to be crappy the next day. That's why I could not eat pizza with Ray last night. When we took all the fighters out from K4 for pizza, and I had to eat some grilled chicken. Like, that's what, like, because I can't, like, train the next day.
Yeah, I told K-Man, I'm like, hey, man, what kind of pizza you want? You want the steak pizza? You want the chicken finger pizza? You're like,
you guys all eating waffle pizza in front of me? Chicken and waffles? Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, that's how it is now when I'm cutting weight. I mean, I got my kid, he's eating McDonald's or Taco Bell. Here I am with my little salad, you know? So, I mean, I get it. He's eating his candy, his Hershey bars, and, you know, everything else. And, you know, I'm like, he's like, Dad, you want a piece? I'm like, no, son, I can't. You know, oh, Dad, you're cutting weight? Yeah, way to rub it in, bud, you know? So, you know,
it's not so bad when it's your kid. It's the worst when it's the people you're working with. Oh, we got pizza today. Like, that's the shit, because you don't really love them people. And you really want to hit them. I never wanted to hit my kid for, like, trying to give me food. But, like, the people you work with, man, they're like, oh, this is great.
Like, yeah, oh, those are the people that you paint their picture on the heavy bag when you get to the gym.
Yeah, hell yeah. Dude, that's some tough life. And, man, people probably don't understand it. Never did it. Like, all these guys try water fasting now. Like, try water fasting when you're, like, working the shit out of your body, like, every day, man. It's so different.
Yep. Well, that's what, you know, like, that's one of the biggest things I preach to, you know, all these newer guys that are coming into the gym, and they all think that it's just a game, or, you know, they don't really think that it's a whole lifestyle. This isn't something that you can just play with. This isn't something that you can just wake up one day and go, you know what, I'm going to be a fighter. It doesn't work that way. You know, this is it's a life change. It's a lifestyle. This is something that you really have to truly dedicate yourself to. Full cycle. I mean, when it starts, it all starts with nutrition, and it starts with your health. And if that's all not connecting right, then nothing else will. You know, you got to be like a sponge. You got to be able to soak in as much as you can and learn on the go. You can't just sit here and think that you know it all. You can't sit here and, you know, have that arrogant mindset to where you're just the toughest guy in the world. It doesn't work that way, you know. So You got to stay humble. You got to stay focused. You got to stay, you know, dedicated. And the more you stay dedicated and the more you stay positive and you keep that one foot in front of the other and you listen to your coaches and you listen to your training partners, the better off you will be at the end of that day.
Hell yeah, man. You couldn't speak those words better myself. I always tell my guys, like, this is not a game, man. You get changed forever, and that one fight can change your life forever. Like, you come out different, and like, it's a real thing to do. And if you have anything that's affecting your performance, man, your life can get changed forever in there. And like, why would you not do everything you can to be the best that you can be? Like, it's not even just about winning. Like, people want to kill you in there. Like, they want to change you forever. They want to change your face, as Habib would say. You know, like, I would change his face, you know, like, that's what people are going in there to do. That's what we go in there to do, to change the person we're fighting, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, dude, it's so important. It's not a game, people need to learn. Even amateurs, not a game. Like, it's the real deal.
You couldn't preach that enough. And, you know, and that's what I, you know, I tell my cornerman, he's only 21 years old. And his fighting IQ is already so high because, like I told him, you got to be a sponge. You know, I've told him this since the day he's walked into the gym. You got to be a sponge. You got to be able to listen to everybody. You know, everyone's going to give you advice. You know, and it's how you take that advice and how you make it your own is what molds you into that great fighter that you want to be. All us fighters go through adversity. It's us fighters that can go through the adversity and come out on top is what makes us that true champion and the, you know, that grind and, you know, that focus. That's what changes a true fighter from somebody that just says, oh, you know what, I'm going to be a fighter, you know? So that, to me, I feel like that's a huge difference.
I agree. And, man, thank you for having this part of the conversation with me. Like, all these guys, we always have people on, like, what are you going to do, like, when you're a champ and stuff? Like, sometimes people need to hear the real part of it too, you know?
Right. That's just it, you know? There's always a reality, you know? People can get on here all day long, and they're just like me. I mean, I could have got on here and told you, oh, yeah, my training camp is so easy. It's this, it's that. No, it's a struggle. Every day is a struggle, you know? But that day that, you know, that's so hard, that's the day that helps you mentally. That's the day that, you know, gets you prepared for these moments, that those moments there, that those situations in that fight, in that ring, when you're getting pressured up against them ropes, or you're getting pressured up against that cage, and you're taking those shots, and you know, you just feel like nothing's going right. Those are those moments to where your mental strength comes into place. That heart that you have inside your chest, that's when you know that comes into play, because you gotta, you gotta keep that one foot in front of the other, and you always gotta have something positive to go come back with. You gotta, it's never the ending. You know, there's always tomorrow, and there's a better day tomorrow than there is today, and that's just the way you gotta look at life.
It's always better when you win too. So like 10 miles come, I'm gonna get it right now. Bang, bang, it's over, yeah.
Yep. I mean, I know you said too, when people become champions, I'll tell you right now, when I become champion, my main goal is to give back. I mean, I grew up poor. So to grow up that way, I want to be able to give back. I want to open up my own warehouse. I want to, be able to help all the, kids that can't pay to play. They can't pay to train, and they can't do the things that they love to do because their families don't have the financial funds, or, whatever else. I want to be able to give back to those families. I want to be able to help those families and help the homeless and help those kind of people that are willing to, that want to try to help themselves, but they just don't know that route, or just don't know, or don't have the financials to get to that point. I want to be able to do that for them, and that's always been my goal. And the only way I know how to do that is by fighting. I mean, that's the only thing I've always been good at. And so, that's to become that 3-time crown champion. I mean, believe me, my main goal is to give back. I want to, I want to go worldwide. I want to help all poor families that there is in this whole entire world, not just in my city, but just worldwide in general.
God bless. That's like God's work, dude. That's pretty impressive stuff. Man, we went from like the last guy was like a crazy guy, like crazy bare knuckle fighter guy. And I watched this podcast that Ray did with you last time. I knew this one was going to be cool, but like, just hearing you and like interacting with you in person is such an honor, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, I appreciate it. It's an honor to be on your guys' show. It's always fun. It's always, very entertaining. And I want people to know my story. Like I said, I broke my neck. So, to come back from that and to be able to be given almost like a second chance to do combat sports when I was told I was never going to play contact sports again, let alone walk again, to be here today, to be able to talk to you guys about my upcoming fight, it's a blessing. So, it's a true honor. I appreciate it.
Let's plug that upcoming fight. When are you fighting? How do we get to watch it?
March 29th, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Me and Anthony Sanchez are going to set the fireworks off in that place. You can watch it on the Bare Knuckle TV app. Make sure you subscribe, and let me know when you do.
Is there any hookup for? Can we like use your name when we order to give you a promo or anything? Or
So I haven't been given my promo code yet. But as soon as I get it, believe me, I'll be releasing it out on all social media. I have Facebook. You can follow me at Justin Street on Facebook. I'm also the Nightmare 125 on Instagram, and you can also follow me on Snapchat, Justin Street as well.
Hell yeah, guys. Make sure that you guys follow him. Or when you get that, send it to Ray, and then we'll release it too. We'll post on K-Man's Corner and help you try and get some buys. Like I know it's important, and it'll help you move up the standings too, get you the opportunities that you're looking for, man. The more people that buy stuff through you is going to help out the company. And then every time you help out the company, they're like, how about you fight this guy so you can sell more tickets for us, And then,
well, I'll tell you right now, the next guy I want to fight, I'm sure you guys know his name. If you guys follow BKFC, I would like to fight April 27th, Chris Garcia. I'm coming, baby. You can't hide any longer. You called me out once. I'm here, baby. I'm coming. So,
you want to be busy. How often do you want to fight?
I want to fight every month. I don't want to be on the bench. I'm not a bench warmer. I'm an active guy. I'm in the gym every day. I grind day in and day out. I don't take days off. So, when it comes to it, and I want to fight every month. I want my name to be worldwide. I want to be known. I ain't getting any younger. I got to get in and get out, So,
listen, if we could get, if you fight Garcia, if we could get both of you on here, that'd be great.
Hey, it'd be a true honor. I mean, I have all respect for Chris Garcia. Don't get me wrong. I have all the respect in the world for the guy. But at the end of the day, this is a business, you know, and when it comes to it, toe to the line, you know, let's get it. You know, let's put on the show for the crowd. Let's give the people what they want. And I feel like me and him could really be fight of the night potential. Hell, I could even get knocked out of the night on, you know, on this one, because like I said, I feel like he's 3-0 right now. He's got a big name behind him. Let me pop that bubble. If anyone's going to do it, let me be the one to do it. You know, that's what I'm here to do. I want that target on my back. It's not about being cocky. It's not about being arrogant. But like I said, at the end of the day, this is a business. And I'm here to be the best, and I'm here to show that I am the best. I put in all the hard work, blood, sweat, and tears the last 15 years that I've been putting into the combat sports. It's my time to shine now, and I'm here to shine. You know, I ain't going nowhere. And you guys can see that March 29th in Albuquerque.
Hell yeah, dude. March 29th, Albuquerque. We're going to make it happen. April, you're trying to fight all the time. One last question. What do you think about Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul?
Man, I think that's a joke. I mean, Mike Tyson he's an idol to me. I love Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is my hero. My whole fighting style, a lot of my fighting style is based off of old Mike Tyson. And I say old Mike Tyson for a reason. Because the old Mike Tyson, before his trainer passed away, he was a dog. He'd get in that ring and there was no denying that man. That man had one mission and one mission only, and there was no stopping him. And it was, you know, regardless if he went to the body, if he went to the head, he knew what he had. He knew what he had to do. And that's the kind of mindset that I have. I feel like him and I are a lot alike in that mindset. And so I've really taken to Mike Tyson's style. And Lomachenko. Lomachenko is another guy who my style is kind of a lot alike when it comes to that rhythm. That rhythm that we were talking about. Lomachenko is the man when it comes to setting that rhythm, that footwork. It's like almost like he's creating art just along with his footwork. And that's, you know, that's what I look to do.
I like when he dances. He's almost like dancing behind guys that are like super high level. Like, it's not like he's doing it to like people in the gym. That's like the highest level opposition. And he's like dancing around him, dude. That's some amazing stuff to see. Who do you think wins, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson, hands down. And
man.
So the reason why I say this is because I don't feel like Jake Paul's ever been hit by a dude like Mike Tyson. I feel like everyone he fights is, you know, they're at the end of their time. They're at the end of their career. So he fights them when they're washed up. And to me, I just feel like Jake Paul is a joke. I mean, I've busted my ass for 15 years to get to where I'm at today. For this man to be a YouTuber and just say, oh, you know what? I want to be a fighter. It's a low blow to all of us fighters, to all of us professional fighters that have actually put in the true grit and the true grind. It's an insult, you know. So I would really like to see Mike Tyson go in here and really take care of business and really shut this guy up once and for all, because the whole Jake Paul, whatever his brother's name is, the Paul brothers in general, they need to go back to YouTube. Stay your asses on YouTube. I give you respect for, you know, trying the fight game, but at the same time, you're fighting washed up bums. You know what I'm saying?
And they're fighting wrestlers too.
Yeah, I mean, you're not fighting no one that's worth talking about.
Yeah.
Go fight Dante Wilder. Go fight the Gypsy King. Go fight those guys. You know.
Yeah.
Then talk about, oh, I'm a fighter. Go, you know. Then I'll give you your credit. But you know, I mean, you're fighting bums.
All right, man. We're going to let you out of here. I just had to get that question in. We got on the fan line. Why don't you shout out all your plugs, everyone that hooks you up, and then we'll shout out our plugs, and then we'll get out of here.
First and foremost, I want to give a big thank you to my family, my wife, Kelly, my son, Donovan, my father, Derek, my coach, James Benatea, my cornerman, Eric Reeves, also my nutritionist, Mike Toller at Westfit Fitness. To all my sponsors, 7-Eleven over here in Dearborn, I got just endless, I mean, support behind me, and I thank you guys very much. At the end of the day, you guys are my world. I wouldn't be here without you guys, and you guys are the reason why I'm able to get in there and do what I do.
All right.
And thank you guys. Thank you, Carlos at CNC Management. for giving me the opportunity to live my dream and to do what I do best.
Awesome. We're going to thank CNC Management. And Carlos, thank you so much for sponsoring the podcast today. We want to thank you, Justin, the Nightmare Street, for coming on the podcast today, giving us so much good information, dude. You're kind of doing God's work, man, with the poor people. I'm excited to hear what you got going on with that. And we got to have to get you on just to talk about that once, because I'm excited to hear about that. This man is looking to fight. What is it? It's about to be April. He's about to fight like 8 more times this year. Jesus Christ, this guy's a savage. Hey,
bring it, baby. Put that target on my back. Bring me to number one. The quicker I'm able to get to that belt, the better.
Yeah. So one more time, thank you to CNC Management. Thank you to Integrity Martial Arts for sponsoring the podcast. Thank you for Ray for putting us all together. We really appreciate it. And best of luck, man. And man, God bless you, dude. God bless you.
Hey, thank you guys so much. You guys enjoy the rest of your night.
You too, sir. Have a great evening.
You too. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And with that, we're going to take off, guys. Have a great night. Thank you from Caveman's Corner.
Peace.
Peace.